Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the government's failure to address the retained fire service recruitment and retention crisis is putting the lives of firefighters and the public at risk. That's according to a Donegal TD. There are calls for a change in regulations governing septic tanks and waterwell grants. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has called an attack on the Kakhovka Dam a barbaric act, even though Ukraine is blaming Russia for the incident. And long-awaited Derry Girls exhibition is set to open in the Tower Museum in Derry at the beginning of next month. The collection features iconic costumes and set pieces that set the scene for 90s Derry. Later in the bulletin, Jordan McDade is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin this evening with the ongoing dispute over the retained fire service, and the government's failure to address the retained fire service recruitment and retention crisis is putting the lives of firefighters and the public at risk. That's according to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, who is calling on the government to immediately intervene. Members of the retained fire service commenced industrial action this week. A work to rule is underway. This may escalate into rolling strikes from the 13th of June. That's Tuesday of next week. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says the service can no longer be taken for granted.
Basically, what we're looking at with our retained firefighters in Donegal and across the country is they're on 24/7 call out for nearly all of the year. They have to be within 5 minutes travel time of their nearest station, and this impacts on their quality of life, on their work conditions, and it's just totally unacceptable in the modern age to have people treated this way, taking advantage of people with sense of civic duty. Dragged on for years, the government need to intervene now and send a clear signal that they're going to address the issues that are so impacting on our firefighters.
And ultimately, this results in people's lives. We need the fire service, we need the retained fire service to save lives.
Absolutely. I mean, the retained firefighters across the country are emergency first responders. If there is a road traffic accident, often with devastating consequences, they're on the scene. You know, of course, if it's a fire issue, it could be water crisis, it could be all sorts of issues that they have to respond to. They also have the capacity to respond to cardiac situations, respiratory situations that are emergencies. They have so many skills, but they're taken for granted, and they have been taken for granted for a long, long time. So this is the last thing they want to be doing, is striking. But they're in a desperate situation. They're not being listened to by government. We tried to have this resolved last November in the Dáil, and the government now need to listen at last and address these issues.
Well, on the 9 till noon show this morning, Councillor Martin Harley said Donegal County Council must employ more firefighters. However, he said that realistically won't happen until there are changes to the terms and conditions of their employment. Councillor Harley says efforts must be made to make joining the fire service a more attractive proposition.
At the moment, talking to local firefighters here in the Twin Towns, the way it is, they're on call 24/7, 365 days a year, and I think in the current times, we talk about better working conditions. I think we need to employ more firefighters, that firefighters can have their time off and they can be rostered on a certain level that you know that you're going to have your time off. I mean, everyone has to have take their holidays and have their breaks and their different family gatherings. So I think it's not fair to expect them to be on call all the time. So I think that needs to be looked at. That's one thing that needs to be looked at. The second thing that needs to be looked at to try and get more people to join the fire services, we need to look at the distance. At the moment, I think it's 2.5 kilometres from the fire station you have to live to be accepted onto the fire service. I think we need to extend that radius out slightly, because if you take Stranorlar Fire Service down on the Lifford side of Stranorlar, you probably would be quicker getting from Killigordon to the station than you would be from the top of Donegal Road, especially during busy times. So we have to look at those things as well. At the same time, we have to try and keep, I know, the call-out time as quick as we can to save lives and but where there's fires, that people are on call quick to stop that as well.
And that was Councillor Martin Harley there speaking on this morning's 9 till noon show. Russian President Vladimir Putin has called the attack on the Kakhovka Dam a barbaric act in his first response since the dam's collapse. Putin told Turkey's president on a phone call that it's led to a large-scale environmental and humanitarian catastrophe. Ukraine and Russia blame each other for the disaster. The Ukrainian president has accused Russia of detonating an environmental bomb of mass destruction. Well, Sky's special correspondent Alex Crawford is in Kherson.
You can see the bus shelter is almost to the top with water. The street signs, the first floor of the buildings are all to the top, and there are rescue workers still out and about trying to find people who've stayed overnight. And I've just, and you can hear outgoing ammunition.
The long-awaited Derry Girls exhibition is to open in the Tower Museum at the beginning of next month. The Derry Girls Experience will feature an array of the iconic costumes and set pieces that featured in the programme set in 90s Derry. It'll launch on the evening of Monday, July 3rd, and open to the public the following day. With more details, here's Bernie Jemison.
Announcing the opening date for the exhibition today, Mayor of Derry and Strabane, Councillor Patricia Logue, said the collection would be a fantastic legacy for the city. She said there's already an upsurge in visitors who've been drawn to Derry to find out more about the origins of the show, the history that shaped it, and this collection will add further to the Derry Girls experience for visitors. She said she looks forward to the exhibition launch and also plans to develop that experience throughout the city, involving a range of partners dedicated to telling the story of Derry. Head of Culture with Derry City and Strabane District Council, Aideen McArthur, said there was already great interest in the exhibition, which is set to run for a year. The Derry Girls Experience will go on public display on July 4th and will run until July 2024.
And there's more on that story, including a few pictures of the exhibits, on our website, highlandradio.com. Minister Heather Humphreys says the collaborative relationship that exists between community groups and Donegal Local Development Company should be a template for other organisations. Minister Humphreys was speaking after officially opening DLDC's new offices in Letterkenny during a two-day visit to Donegal, saying that her department has spent €85 million in the county since 2020. Minister Humphreys told Highland Radio News that the bottom-up approach must always be to the fore.
In terms of the bottom-up approach, I very much support that. And can I just say that Donegal Local Development Company here are doing that. They are engaging with communities and they are working on many, many different projects here, whether it's working with the Ukrainians that have come to live in Donegal, whether it's working with the volunteers, whether it's working with people to get them back into work who have been unemployed for some time, and it's to help people overcome the challenges to allow them to contribute fully to society.
As a Cavan Monaghan representative yourself, you will have the same appreciation that people in Donegal do for the importance of cross-border work and local community organisations in Donegal, many of them engaging with communities across the border, and that's a really vital part of the work that's being done here and the work that you're funding.
Yeah, well, of course, through the peace funding, there's loads of opportunities there now. There's a new programme coming forward to work again collaboratively. I'm very aware of the benefits that the peace programme, most recently the Peace 4 programme, have brought to communities in Cavan, Monaghan, Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, and of course Louth. These are all border counties that have been impacted by the troubles over the years. But there's a real sense of hope and optimism. We're working together, and by doing that, we can come up with some really, really iconic projects that make a difference to people's lives.
Minister Heather Humphreys, who's been in Donegal for 2 days carrying out a number of engagements. Today she was Aran Mór, where she published a new National Islands Policy and Action Plan. It seeks to boost tourism and improve housing and healthcare on the islands. Minister Humphreys also announced almost $472,000 in funding for both Aran Mór and Tory. $72,000 going to Tory, the rest going to Aran Mór. Well, Councillor Micheál Colum-Gillespie, a member of Donegal County Council's Islands Committee, says tourism is important, but it cannot be the sole economic driver. He says fishing has sustained island communities for generations and can't be ignored when it comes to future planning. He says islanders deserve to have the chance to earn a living.
That we have employment, proper employment, employment that pays proper wages and not just bare minimum wages. And that's really important. Our island community needs to be able to go back fishing for salmon, needs to be invested into our fishing community. It has been neglected
Well, the lack of housing on Irish islands is driving young people to the mainland. That's according to a spokesperson for residents on Cape Clear off County Cork. They say locals cannot get homes on the island, despite the fact that there are plenty of holiday homes there. Kevin McCann says what's needed is gateway housing.
There are a lot of houses. If you came to Cape Clear, there are a lot of houses. A lot of them are holiday homes. If any of the youngsters wanted to stay here, housing is the biggest drawback. It would be difficult for someone who wanted to choose to come here and live to find an affordable house. The solution to that is building gateway housing.
There are calls for a change in regulations governing septic tanks and water well grants. As it stands, to avail of a septic tank grant, the tank must have been registered by February of 2013. Donegal Councillor Micheál Nochtun says this leaves many people at a disadvantage. He wants the relevant ministers to overhaul the regulations to ensure that homeowners are protected and are not financially impacted.
Currently with septic tank grants, you need to have your septic tank registered by February 2013. So this leaves a lot of families disadvantaged. We're coming 10 years later, basically, and we're looking at the upgrading of septic tanks, and basically families are discovering that basically they're not covered because they don't have it registered. Also, basically, Donegal County Council told us over a month ago that Donegal had the lowest uptake in registration for septic tanks. So this basically now has families at a huge disadvantage. And in addition to this, then, in relation to the well grant, that it has to be 5 years old, the house, before you can apply for a grant for a well. You have young couples coming along that are basically building their new houses. They're getting serious connection fees from Irish Water. And basically, again, they're at a disadvantage. So I would call on the minister, basically, to look at this and change the regulations, because Donegal is a rural county and that. So again, there'll be a lot of families at a disadvantage here, and this needs to be changed.
And if these grants, if the regulations aren't changed, as you mentioned, there will be a huge financial burden on those that are affected then.
That's correct, because basically, you know, we're talking over 10 years ago when you're supposed to have registration for your septic tank. Now in Donegal, I mean, as I said, it's a rural county. There's a lot of these singular septic tanks. And basically, they will not pass the standard going forward. And when families go to look for financials, they're saying you have to have registered. And I think this is very unfair. And I think this definitely has to be changed, because, as you rightly said, the people are going to be financially out of pocket. And if there's a grant there, I think everybody should be entitled to it.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Jordan McDade.
We start with golf, as Roy McIlroy says he was aware that discussions were ongoing between the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour and Live Golf. The three tours announced a merge yesterday, funded by Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund. McIlroy says he hates Live Golf, but has no issues with where their money is coming from. A Croke Park delegation met with the county board and the clubs yesterday evening to reveal their recommendations following a review into various matters within Donegal GAA. Headed up by Director General Tom Ryan and Ulster President Kieran McLaughlin, the meeting was informed of restructuring on a number of fronts. Highland Radio Sport understands Croke Park will be overseeing the implementation of their recommendations over a period of time, with the head of operations to be appointed to oversee coaching, finance, fundraising and governance, a similar role to a CEO. A new committee is to be set up to run and oversee the academy, which was a focal point and a major fallout between Carl Lacey and the board members. The county board are advised to change their process for the selection of managers, something the board was criticised heavily for after the appointment of Paddy Carr. The full report will be released to clubs later today. West Ham and Florentina are both looking to end their long trophy drought tonight when they meet in the Europa Conference League final. The Premier League club are hoping to end a 43-year wait for silverware in Prague. Florentina last won a trophy 22 years ago and they were beaten by Inter in the Coppa Italia final last month. Hammers boss David Moyes admits they're up against a very strong opponent.
I've been hugely impressed by Florentina. Their form, certainly since maybe after the World Cup, has been very good. They've already got to one cup final, so it tells you that they've got something. The manager's done a really, really good job with Fiorentina in a short time. So a difficult opponent, an Italian opponent, is always difficult, and we respect that.
Kickoff is at 8. Lionel Messi is being linked with a move to Inter Miami. The 35-year-old is out of contract following an end to his deal at Paris Saint-Germain. A return to Barcelona or a move to Saudi Arabia had been on the cards, but it now appears that Messi will continue his career in the MLS. Jude Bellingham is set to secure his move to Real Madrid. The Spanish giants have agreed a basic fee of €103 million for the Borussia Dortmund midfielder, with potential add-ons totaling €34 million. Bellingham is due to have his medical in the coming days and will sign a 6-year deal at the Bernabeu. Katie McCabe has won the Women's Super League goal this season. The Republic of Ireland captain rewarded her sublime strike against Manchester City in April. McCabe's wonder goal helped the Gunners to a 2-1 win, ultimately securing Arsenal's place above City in the league. In cricket, St Johnstone have been handed a home tie in the quarterfinals of the National Cup. The Donegal side will host Dublin outfit Rush in the last eight. The only other North West side still in the competition is Kilkenny. They will be away in Belfast at Cliftonville Academy. The tie is to be played on Sunday the 18th of June. Elsewhere, the North West Warriors won their second game of the Interprovincial T20 Trophy at Mary Dyke in Cork today. The Warriors beat Leinster Lightning by 81 runs. They battled a first and reached 180 for 7 in the 20 overs. Leinster could only manage 99 runs. The North West play the Northern Knights in their final game on Thursday. To tennis, Alexander Shirov and Thomas Martin Echeverry are tied a set apiece in their French Open quarterfinal. Later, men's 4th seed Casper Ruud plays 6th seed Holger Rune. Iga Swiatek remains on course to retain her French Open title. The top seed Coco Gauff bet the top seed Coco Gauff 6-4, 6-2 in their quarterfinal. Swiatek will face Beatrice Hadamina next. Finally, London Irish have filed for administration after being suspended from the Rugby Union Premiership. The English RFU confirmed yesterday the club would be kicked out of the top tier following a collapse of a takeover by an American corporation. Owner Mick Crossan says administration was always a last resort and is something he bitterly regrets. That's your sport for today. Back again tomorrow at 8:30 a.m.
Thank you very much indeed, Jordan. The Central Bank has warned there are still risks facing the Irish financial system as inflation impacts the global economy. In its financial stability review, it says inflation and higher interest rates continue to pose challenges to an otherwise resilient Irish economy. Meanwhile, it says while many are stretched by the cost of living crisis, households and businesses are proving resilient to the inflationary shock so far. The governor of the central bank, Gabriel McLouf, says the focus now is on maintaining the status quo.
Households, businesses and the economy as a whole have shown resilience. And the important thing that we need to do now is not become complacent and make sure we continue to focus on how we maintain that resilience.
The public expenditure minister has refused to be drawn on what might be included in the budget. Minister Pascal Donoghue was asked about his Fine Gael colleague's call for a €1,000 tax break. He wouldn't indicate if he supported that idea or not, but did say the budget will put money back in people's pockets. Minister Donoghue says there is still a lot of work to do before any commitments can be made.
Each different political party, including my own, will have our different views in relation to this. The stability and the cohesion of the government will be maintained, and I'll work closely with Minister McGrath in preparing the budget, and the next staging post and all of that now will be laying out what we think should be the size of the budget, which we'll do in an economic statement before the dole rises.
One animal charity says it's noticed a spike in cruelty and neglect cases against dogs because of what it terms an overpopulation. In response, the ISPCA has launched an emergency appeal for donations and rescue families to adopt a pup. It says its 4 shelters in Wicklow, Donegal, Longford and Mallow are full, and it's now having to rent kennel spaces. Pete the vet says the overpopulation has had devastating effects on the charity's resources.
This country has been swamped by far too many dogs, especially in the last 6 months. And ISPCA picks up the pieces by dealing with the cases of cruelty and neglect. And this year so far, we're only at June, and we've already had as many cases as we had for the whole of 2022.
And figures published this morning show Letterkenny to be the cheapest student town in Ireland. The cost of being a student in Letterkenny comes in at €12,791 before fees. That's the cheapest in Ireland, as Sean O'Regan now reports.
According to Switcher.ie's Student Cost of Living Guide, Letterkenny is the most affordable town for student accommodation at €373 per month. Overall, it's the most reasonable town in Ireland for students. Utilities cost an average of €82 a month in Letterkenny for college goers. Groceries are €154, transport, €135, entertainment, €308, and gym membership, €35. The total monthly cost of student living in the town is €1,088 and €12,791 a year plus fees. Meanwhile, for international students, Letterkenny is the fourth cheapest town at €23,291 per annum plus fees.
Well, the forecast, Al Met Éireann tell us it'll continue dry and mostly cloudy with some bright spells into this evening. Some winds in the eastern area will keep it cooler there. Overnight dry with clear spells. Lowest overnight temperatures 8 to 11. Again, a light easterly breeze. And Met Éireann tell us for tomorrow, Thursday, more of the same. You can expect it to remain dry with hazy sunny spells. Top temperatures hitting 17 or 18 degrees Celsius in the east, up to 20 or 21 in the west, in moderate easterly winds. And that's Highland Radio News for the moment. Taking a closing look at the headlines on this Wednesday evening, and the government's failure to address the retained fire service recruitment and retention crisis is putting the lives of firefighters and the public at risk. That's according to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. He's calling on the government to intervene immediately after SIPTA began industrial action this week. It's set to escalate from next week. There are calls for changes in regulations governing septic tanks and water well grants. Russia's president has called an attack on the Kakhovka Dam a barbaric act. However, Ukraine is blaming Russia for the incident. The Ukrainian president has accused Russia of detonating an environmental bomb of mass destruction. And the long-awaited Derry Girls exhibition is set to open in the Tower Museum at the beginning of next month. The collection on display will feature an array of the iconic costumes and set pieces that were used in the series set in Derry City in the 1990s. The Derry Girls Experience will open in the Tower Museum on Monday, the 3rd of July. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 7th of June. The death has occurred of Maeve Murray, née Nolan, Castle Ban, Letterkenny, reposing at her daughter D. McGowan's residence at Lisnennan from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow, with rosary at 9. Funeral from there on Friday morning to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed online at the Church of the Irish Martyrs YouTube channel, followed by burial in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral on Friday. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Hillcrest House Residents Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has occurred of Philly Donaghy, Smokey, Anno, Clonmany. His remains are en route to his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Clonmany Community Centre and St Colum Kill Village, Clia Clonmany, care of any family member or McFeely funeral directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Fanny Russell, née Gamble, Churchtown, Garton, Church Hill. Fanny's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday to St Columba's Parish Church, Church Hill, for service at 4 o'clock, followed by interment in Garton Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The funeral service can be viewed live on Charlie McLafferty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Muriel McGrath, née McNamee, Rowan House, Maharennan, Letterkenny, formerly of Glenties, reposing at the family home at Rowan House, Maharennan. Muriel's remains will repose at her late home from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock, with rosary nightly at 9. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Hillcrest House Nursing Home Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has occurred of John Midlashan, 6 The Rock, Dlentys, formerly of Vale of Lavan, Alexandria. John's remains are reposing at his late residence. House private pleas this evening. Wake tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Funeral service on Friday morning at 11 in St Connell's Church, Dlentys, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. House private pleas on the morning of the funeral. The funeral service can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Una Patton, née Gallagher, 196 Ballycommon Estate, Strabane, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Moira E. Wheelhelen, née Ní Cathain, 70 Ashlawn, and formerly of Boher on Dolin na Carrarua, Galiv. Moira's remains are reposing at her late residence until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Newleck Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on YouTube. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.